Well, good morning, everyone. Hope I sound a little bit better today than last week, in more ways than one. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be kind of going throughout the New Testament, hitting different verses, but we are going over Acts chapter 9. You can go ahead and turn there. I have several scriptures I'll be posting on top on the PowerPoint here. We're looking at the discipleship of Saul and how it relates to both his ministry and his writings. So we're going to be taking a little journey with considering the idea of knowing your stuff. And to introduce this, I was going to have a, let me see if I get this correct, this is your life or death. It's a game we're going to play here. I have volunteers that have decided to come up, and I'll get it set up here. So game number one is, you guys, two guys could go ahead and make your way up here. All right. Thank you, Nadia. All right. Game number one, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Okay? That's the name of the game. Do not drink the Kool-Aid. Okay, so I'm going to give you all, you can pick it up, you can look at all of them. One of them is Kool-Aid, and two of them are not. They're just colored water. So the point is here, you need to understand, this is a real serious thing, because the Kool-Aid is poisonous, all right? So if you drink it, you know, we'll help you down the stage, all right? Not really, if anyone thinks I'm too serious. But so go ahead, take a look at it, look closely, if you can figure out which one is the Kool-Aid and which one is not. So you get a 2 out of 3 that you'll survive. But if you grab the one that's Kool-Aid, I'm afraid you're dead, all right? So you got which one you want to take, and because you're going to have to drink it in front of all of us, all right? It'll all be good. All right, go ahead, Dawson, or you want to have ladies first? Ladies first. Here she goes. Now, don't say anything. All right, now you go, Dawson, go. All right. All right. So we do have a funeral we need to have here this morning. I am so sorry, Nadia. She was a good girl, though. We'll say a lot of nice things. All right, yeah. Can you turn her mic on? I need her to talk. She can turn it on? Good. All right, so just real quick here, I'm curious. I'll start with you. What was your thought process through any of this, or was there any thought process at all?
I haven't seen very many yellow Kool-Aids in my life.
Okay, all right. Good to know for the next game. Okay. How about you? What was yours?
I thought that this one looked like it had thinner color, like it was paler. I was hoping that it wasn't Kool-Aid, like it wasn't enough color.
Okay. You know, right? You did a really good job, by the way, of not giving it away, because you had to have known the second you tasted it, I think I'm in trouble. All right, so I got something else here. It's a different game, all right? Whew. But this one here, there's only one that's good and two that are bad, all right? But it's a little different than the last one. You guys can't see. Let me show them. I have some clues here for them to help them. You see all that? I know the symbols are kind of hard to see from a distance, but there's three different symbols here. Then you go ahead and study that. And Nadia, here you go. They're all, by the way, they're the same symbols. I wasn't trying to fool anybody. You should be able to figure out which one. There's only one that's good, okay? And the other two, you're dead again.
I'm already dead.
So she went first last time. You ready to choose? All right, go for it. Okay. All right, your turn, Nadia. Let me see. Go ahead. Just pick the one you want. Take a sip. It's good. Turn it around. Okay. They both survived. Good job. Good job. All right. Nadia, let's start with you. What made you pick that one over the other two? Okay. And how about you? About the same thing? Good job. All right, let's give him a hand here. All right, very good. You guys can have a seat and send your cards and flowers to Nadia.com. You know, when we think about life and death, and it is important to know your stuff. And that's kind of the big idea here this morning, the idea. I just kind of want to turn the corner a little bit now and focus in what is that. Because a lack of knowledge can really create a lot of problems. Do I have an amen? I mean, even if you're sincere and want to do the right thing, a lack of knowledge can harm you. All right? So you really do need to know your stuff. Now, what am I talking about? Of course, I'm talking about spiritual things that relate to life itself. So it's the spiritual side. Do you know that? Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Him? That's where it begins. And then from there, that's what helps you to make good decisions. Here, really, I mean, can y'all feel for them? They really do kind of just, how do you know? It was kind of a guess. I appreciate I didn't even think about the yellow. I've never seen yellow Kool-Aid before. Do they have yellow Kool-Aid? I know they have yellow lemonade. I think about that. So he was using his brain to try to analyze that. But the symbols gave a little more information. That one there was pretty easy, right? Yeah, don't drink this. Bad. You ever find those kind of commands in the Bible, by the way? Don't do this. And what does man end up doing? This. So they're drinking their own Kool-Aid. This one here, I had no idea. I had to look it up. But this has to do with some type of poisonous water as well, or water flow. Did anyone know this one? I did not. So I was impressed. But this one was the giveaway. This means this is drinkable water. You can drink from this fountain. So they used some knowledge to be able to make good choices here. So, you know, the game that we have, and we call it the game of life, we know it's not a game, but it really is a series of choices that we make. Good choices, bad choices. How can you be sure that you're making the right choice all the time? It can be challenging, can't it? It can be difficult. But you can know this by the knowledge of the truth. I have a verse here I want to share with you that comes from Ecclesiastes. It says, the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. I love that verse. The advantage of knowledge is that wisdom, and what is the next phrase? Preserves the life of him who has it. Now, so it's a powerful tool that Christ can use for us. It helps us to know him, to grow in him, and to glow for him. But there's a problem that we have with this, even with all that. And it's that Christians especially, not just Christians, people that don't know Christ, we can be very deceived, easily deceived, and we can often be childish and very immature is the big word for it, big category. We struggle with that. In fact, it results in destructive life choices. You're just taking a guess, or you're just, oh, I love this color, so I'm going to do this one. Not even considering that it's very clear that that one may be the poisonous one. So we have here from Paul, he dealt with this, didn't he? Here's the, you know this passage. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. So ignorance, though, is not due to a lack of information. But God has provided quite a bit of information that you have right here. And you're able to take that information, if you so choose, and to grow deeper in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. But so many Christians today, too many that I know of, they're on the spiritual fast food diet. They have the drive-in the church mentality. Pick up your order after about an hour and drive out, and you're done with God for the week. Can't do that. We can't do that. That's not growing. That's not getting deeper into the knowledge of Christ. Proverbs 18 talks of, we're back before I get there. Proverbs 18:15 says, the heart of the discerning inquires knowledge. for the ears of the wise will seek it out. So followers of Christ must cultivate a lifelong hunger for the knowledge of Christ. Do you know him, and are you growing him? Maybe put it this way. Where are you at this year as opposed to last year? Where are you at this year as opposed to 2 years ago? Do you know any more? Have you grown? In what ways have you grown? This is questions for you to answer. Because we are called to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Now, if you see a baby is born and they bring them up here, all of you guys would be going, ah, right? But if you see that same baby up here at age 13, that same size, what would you say? There's a problem. I've shared this before. There was a pastor in our church when I was a kid growing up. One of his children had, I don't know the name of the disease, but he had it. This child had it. I remember going into the room, looking into this crib, and I thought the baby looked a little different to me because it was a size of a baby, but it had the face of a teenager. It was like, whoa, we noticed that's not right. That's exactly the way it is with too many people. They should, by this time, be way past the elementary things of Christ. We should know the Lord. We should know his word. We should know this gospel. Will we ever get to know it completely? Absolutely not. Not on this side of heaven. But it's the striving of growing and becoming more like him. So do you know your stuff? Do you know it? Do you know the word? Are you growing, glowing, and going with this word? It's all part of it. It's not just getting book knowledge. It's applying it as well. Now, if you have your Bibles, go to Acts 22. I know I told you to turn to Acts 9. But in Acts 22, it says in verse 3, Saul, who is known and referred to as Paul now, says to his old buddies, the Pharisees, and he's talking about his educational background here. And he says this. He says, I am a Jew. I was born in Tarsus in Cilicia, brought up in this city, and educated at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are to this day. All that meaning that God was able to use all his education that he received and the importance of it in the ministry. It wasn't wasted at all. There was no like, wow, I just wasted my time getting a degree in biology. I just wasted my time doing all this, and the Lord calls you. No, God doesn't waste things in your life, in your experience. I think of different folks. Remember Lee Strobel? He's written cases about the case for Christ. So he set out to try to disprove it, and he used all his previous education to try to walk the way through and show all of us that we're a bunch of idiots following somebody that doesn't even really exist. He wasn't who he said he was. But something amazing happened. God turned that upside down on him. Using his previous education, probably with different professors that had a different view of God, word, life, culture, and he came into his life, re-educating him, and he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that book, if you haven't read it, it's worth reading. Our bookstore might even have it. And by the way, I think they have some kind of a book sale back there. So you can go take a look at that as well. It was amazing. It's not wasted. So I wasted my time, you know, doing this. No. Paul is basically listing, these are the things that I did. And you say, well, those were spiritual things. Yeah, they were. But I don't think that all the things that he was being taught by Gamaliel were necessarily sound doctrine. They were sound in many respects, but not fully. But God took that, wasn't wasted, and was able to help him to get to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So it became a really strong foundation. Now we can go forward here. This next verse is powerful. Back to Acts 9. In Acts 9, we have this verse here, 23 through 26. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they were watching the gates day and night. We talked about this last week. In order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night, led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And now I have a red box there. Why is that there? I'll tell you in a second. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join disciples. So you get this in Scripture quite a bit. So the red box represents 3 years. Okay? So from that previous section, that's where he was. Then that red box, God took him to seminary, Jesus Seminary. Which, by the way, there is a Jesus Seminary. You do know that, right? In South Korea, I believe. They used to visit here every now and then. Here it is. But when Paul talks about this in Galatians, but when he had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after how many years? 3. I went up to Jerusalem to visit Peter and remained with him 15 days. Wow. So we have this. God puts quite a high value on understanding your stuff. Understanding, well, Paul, you got this teaching from Gamaliel. He's great. But there's some things that you're missing. This happens all the time in our experience. Think about your own experience. It could be well-meaning people, or it could just be a crazy church or whatever, and everything in between. So we could have situations where we're taught something. And being young or whatever, we just accept it. Okay, great. And then you do start to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you start to realize, wait a second. That's not what the Bible says. That's not right. I don't need to be drinking that Kool-Aid. That's man's rule applied to me. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. I don't know if you've had those moments in life. I've had way too many of them. And I've even had them before, because I've had pretty good training. You know, you just get passed on things. That's why you have to grow. That's why you have to use the right standard to grow, this Word of God. And are you digging? Do you know the stuff? Do you know the Word? Are you able to defend it well with those around you? And so Paul takes 3 years. Now, I don't know if that's what seminary. A lot of seminaries have 3-year programs. I don't know if they got it from this or that's just the way it worked out. I crammed mine into 5, so some of us take longer to learn than others. Yeah, so that's just the way it is. And I remember more than one time thinking, man, I'm tired. I've been here 5 years now. It's going on my 5th year. And I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you just wonder, is it going to all be worth it? And I got to tell you, those years of growing and being challenged and being, whoa, I didn't even know that was there, were so helpful to continue to lay more layers and more foundation. That wasn't the end of it all, though. You need to know that. There are people, friends of mine, who went to a great church and they were taught well. Praise the Lord for that. Man, that's a blessing from God. But your education with Christ didn't end there. But how many of my friends do I know, they keep quoting the same guy? And I'm thinking, that's good. You remember what he said. But what did you learn the last 10 years? Right? It's about us growing. It's about us growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. This was what Paul's discipleship was about. God wanted to take all that he knew. And let me tell you, Paul knew a lot. He was very well versed. But there were some things about it that he needed straightening out. And God valued that education, not for knowledge itself, but so that he would grow and understand to be more like him, more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he can grow and go with that knowledge and share that with people and live that life. That's what it's all about. And so Saul had to take those years, and he went there. I can't imagine what that's like, except may I challenge that as I say that. I think we can. It's called quiet times. You want to go to seminary with Jesus? Why don't you get out your Bible? Why don't you find a time in the day? Not everybody's a morning person, amen? Well, I got a good amen on that one. Yeah, some people are noon people. I wake up at the crack of noon. And other people are night. Whatever. That's fine. But the point is, You can have that seminary time with Jesus. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, and time. Digging into the Word and getting to find out more and more about Him. I know that's what our discipleship programs here are about, helping you to learn how to grow yourself, to feed yourself, so you're not a teenager in an infant body. It just is not supposed to be that way. So we have those two things there. The big idea simply is you don't have to have a PhD to be effective for Jesus, all right? What you do need to do, though, is to be growing in your knowing so that you can be glowing in your going. Yes, I came up with that. I'll read it again like four times. You need to be growing in your knowing so you can be glowing in your going. That ought to be a prize for somebody who could say that to me next week. I don't know. And by the way, I'm so sorry, Nadia and Dawson, where you at? I've got all these prizes here for you up here. Yeah, I got keys to my car. Unfortunately, it's the red van. Good luck. I'm not sure it's been driven in 5 years, but maybe you'll have, the faith and it will work. It'll work. So anyway, yeah, are you growing in your knowing? Are you? Are you doing that? Is that something you see other people seeing you? That's so for the purpose of not just knowing more, that's so you're glowing. Are you glowing as you're going? I'm not impressed with people who have these great insights on Scripture, but they still act like the devil. It doesn't help. So it's all about transformation, becoming more like Jesus Christ. We would do well to remember Paul's words in Romans that said this, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways and his paths beyond finding out." There is no way you and I could ever, one time, ever be able to get to know everything there is about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great trip to take, by the way. That's a great trip to take. So Paul is charging us all to keep growing. Now, here's a very familiar one that you should know, right? The word that most translations use, study. But I like this particular one because it's a little more accurate for our culture. Giving diligence. It's not just study for study's sake, but diligence to present yourself to God. So it's more than just I have a greater knowledge of that particular verse. No, it's about this verse that I'm growing in knowledge now. I'm being diligent to apply it to my life, and now I'm going to be able to present myself more approved unto God, not for salvation, but in my sanctification as I grow. So I'm approved, a worker who doesn't have to be ashamed, and I'm rightly handling the word of truth. So this is Paul as he's writing later on. I think he's reflecting back on his time with Jesus. I think he's thinking about Gamaliel. I think he's thinking about his own times as he was leading and teaching people. And then when he came to know Christ, and then 3 years with Jesus, I think all of this came to this verse. And he's reflecting on it, says, look, I'm telling you, don't stop growing. You need to be growing all the time. Present your body. Be diligent so that you are able to handle this word correctly and accurately, because when you don't, you get this result. And this is the result of our culture today. People randomly saying, whatever I feel like, I like that. I'm going to drink that today. It's poison. People with clues from God all around us. What is healthy and what is not healthy? And they just pick whatever. This is the problem when you don't handle the Word of God accurately. And you and I have been blessed with a copy of God's Word. Are we digging in it? So maybe this is a call for all of us to think about that as we dig and grow and learn to know and go, glowing for Jesus Christ. Well, Paul learned early on in his ministry that the standard was so important, because you can have a passion and a conviction about something, but if it doesn't come from Scripture, then you're just a highly motivated person. It could be wrong. Man, so Paul was really careful about this. He wanted to know the Word of God. He wanted to know it so he could present himself to God. He wanted to know the word, present it accurately, handle it correctly, live it consistently, protecting us from bad decisions, what we should do. People say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Have you tried God on that one? Have you tried Scripture on that one? I bet he'll give you some guidance on that. Well, here in Acts 9:22, back at the chapter 9 again now, of the book of Acts, we're backing up a little bit, but it's important here. It said that Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. So there's that 2 Timothy 2:15 before it was even written being worked out. Here he is growing. Why? Because now he's connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he has the filling of the Holy Spirit. And now that Holy Spirit is working in him to understand the things of God. And now he's able to interpret it correctly so that he can now preach and teach and share with confidence the Word of God. You do not have to be ashamed of the Word of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes this gospel of Christ. So here we have simply a servant of God learning to be effective through his love and obedience. He was growing more, more, and more. But I want you to think about this for you and I today. Put your name in there, all right? I thought of trying and reading aloud. It might be a little chaotic. But I'll put my name in. You guys put your name, your own name in. But Keith increased all the more in strength and confounded the people who lived in Indiana. I have to qualify that because we can confound people for the wrong things, right? By proving that Jesus was the Christ. You say, well, that was for Saul. No, that's for you. You need to place yourself, otherwise you're just gaining knowledge. When you're reading and studying the Bible, are you doing it in such a way that God is speaking to you? God wants you to do these things, you to grow, so that you can come and prove that Jesus is the Christ. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that we are actively engaging with people with this gospel. And we're able because we know the gospel. He said, well, there's a lot to do. There sure is. And I don't know half of it myself sometimes, honestly. And I'm always running up against people from time to time that are going to ask a question I never thought about. That's okay. You're not required to know everything. You see, Satan will use that to keep you fearful from asking or even talking to people. Just blow that out of the water. Nobody knows everything. But I don't know how many times, this is what I do, and I was taught this by my mentor. He says, when you run up against someone and they ask you a question, you got to realize that there's a spiritual warfare going on, and there is. You're sharing Jesus Christ. You're sharing the way, the gospel, the truth, and the life. And so there's going to be all kinds of distractions, there usually are, phone call, baby crying, dog barking, five people decide they want to visit, who knows? And these things are all there. You have to keep going. And so someone asked me a question, I learned this from him. I don't know if he didn't know the answer or he was actually just doing it to teach me something, but we were in a live situation here. And they asked him a really hard question, and I'm going, thank you, Jesus, I'm not the one sharing today. But he said, you know what he did? He goes, you know, that's a good question. That's worthy of a good answer. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to give that some consideration and get back with you next week. Now let's get back to talk about Jesus. And there it is. You don't have to be sucked into it. You don't have to pull fear anymore, because why are you there? To prove that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why can you do that? Because you know your stuff. You know enough about the Word. You can walk through the Romans road, or you can grab Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and you're able to walk through it in a simple way. I love that track from years ago, right? The simple plan of salvation. That's right. Don't make it complicated. Christ died for sinners. We're all sinners. We all deserve hell. But God loved us so much, he sent Christ. And Christ paid the way for us to get back into our right relationship with God. For it's by grace we're saved, though, through faith. It's not by works and our own efforts. It is a gift of God so that we don't boast in what we do. So any religion, any cult, any church that tries to say you have to do this, 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 that doesn't say Christ alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, that's false. It is Jesus who saves. Faith in Him who saves. I can't save you. This church, joining the church won't save you. I could baptize you 15 times. I could baptize you every week if you want. It's faith in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. That's what Paul was fighting for. That's what Paul, imagine it's the eyes that were open. Because he already had a pretty good foundation with Gamaliel. Can you imagine then Jesus taking that and going, oh, yeah, here, by the way, this is what this means. Whoa! Why didn't I see that? And this is what this means. And so he was a lifelong learner. Do you know your stuff? What do I mean by that? Are you committed to be a lifelong learner in the Word of God? I mean, I wish everybody would attend church every week, obviously. Not just so the place is full for their own benefit, but I'm here to tell you that's not where it's all at. Man, you got to get your Bible. You got to go to your kitchen table or your room, whatever your special place is. You got to open that thing up. You got to read it. You got to meditate over it. You got to discuss it with your small group. Discuss it with your family. And you need to let the Holy Spirit work through His Word to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul recognized that. He didn't do this mission by himself. He had a lot of help. And that's how we're going to reach the city for Jesus. That's how we're going to reach our communities for Jesus. Not doing it by ourselves or not doing it at all because we're afraid. No, we're going to know our stuff. And we're going to get in Indiana and in Kokomo. And we're going to be people that prove that Jesus is the Christ. What if no one prays to receive Jesus? It's not up to you. Just throw that one out the door. Well, I witness people, but no one gets saved. It's not up to you to save anybody. That's up to God. Our role is to be obedient. And so when I see this, and I am reading this in Acts, and I know we're taking a lot of excursions here, but I think it's important. I just see Saul seeing the importance of growing in knowledge of Christ and really knowing the Bible. And that's why we value at our church here, and I know there's other churches that do, and praise God when they do. We value Bible study. We value discipleship. We value Sunday school. We value being consistent in the Word at home, with your family, with your quiet times. We value these things because they're going to help you be able to know your stuff so that you can proclaim Jesus the Christ. Do you know your stuff? See, not as well as I should, but we're all there. So what I want you to walk away from here today, it's a proclamation from your heart to God, if this is what you feel led to do. Say, Lord, I want to know your word, all your word. And I'm going to make it my passion and priority to dig so that I can go out and glow for you and tell people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Man, if we do that, it's amazing what God can do with His Word when it's planted. He will cause it to grow. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. There might be someone here today that has never come to a understanding about salvation. I'm not saying you don't know the Romans road. I'm not saying you may have not have even spoken, but do you understand? Do you understand salvation is an act that God does in your heart? Do you understand that it is not a work that you do? You and I must call upon the name of the Lord. We must come to Him. He's the one that brings salvation. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was raised the third day again according to the Scripture. This is the gospel. Who would believe in the Lord alone, trusting in him to forgive you of your sin, for we are sinners, humbly coming to the cross and that resurrected tomb, saying, Lord Jesus, it's not all that I've done. It's not anything that I've done. It's everything you've done for me. Forgive me of my sins. I'm trusting in you alone to save me. That's the first group I want to speak to. Please don't depend upon your knowledge or lack of it or whatever it is, your standing in society to save you. It will not. Only Jesus saves. Now I'm talking to Christians. This church has a great, great history, praise God, of people, men and women, who have been committed to teaching and preaching this word. I'm asking each of you, my brothers and sisters, what are you doing with that? Some of you have been under the teaching for 10, 20, 30, 40, we'll stop there. But many years. God never intended for you and I to just enjoy the glowing, growing, wonderful blessings of the word. We have been called to teach others also. Maybe that's where you need to make a commitment. Lord, help me. I don't know how this will all work out. You can talk with me about it or other pastors. But Lord, how can I take this word and help people know that Jesus is the Christ, to teach them to observe all things? There's no retirement for that. So Christian, let's know our stuff and let's share it together. Our Father, we think about how you continue to invest in our lives, sharing with us, with your Holy Spirit, in so many ways. It could be through creation. It could be through the word, the quiet times. It could be through a song. It could be through a friend's conversation. It could be through a commercial on TV sometimes. And the Holy Spirit says, are you hearing something? But Lord, we don't want to miss the call to make disciples, because that's what you called us to do. Go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. This is for all of us. So I pray that as we know our stuff, we'll be sharing it at home with each other. We'll be taking those times for those devotions at supper, when we gather together. And if we're not gathering together, Lord, maybe that's the first step families need to do. They always need to gather together at least once a day and talk about the day and share what's going on, pray together, and go over the word. Then, Lord, we need to think about others in church that may not have those advantages. We can disciple. We can get involved in men's and women's discipleship groups and Bible study groups, and not just to gain more knowledge, but to also be used to help impart knowledge to others as we grow with them, so that we can let Indiana know, we can let Kokomo know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We may not be a Paul, but that's okay. Paul is no us. You made us uniquely for this time, for this place. Help us to know our stuff and to share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.